Welcome to a bonus episode for January 2015, this being the CCM bonus episode. What does that mean? I don't know anymore.
Could be anything.
Could be anything. Now it's a Rorschach test of the time. What's happening? What's happening right now? I'm fixing the mic stand. That's what's happening. That's squeaky sound, guys. What's happening at this time of year in this part of the world, or in the world at all? That's what CCN is. It's a reflection
of the times.
Of that actual time. So this is January 2015. Two-thirds of the way through the month.
Ish.
Because that would matter. If we did this last week, we'd be talking about one thing.
Would we?
And if we did this next week, we'd probably be talking about something else. But because we're doing it this week, there's one particular topic.
Right now.
That we're going to be talking about. Because that's how news cycles... By the way, I'm Chris Crespo. Thank you very much. How's it going? Yeah, thank you. Downloading. Thank you. We appreciate it. That other guy is my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
Hey.
Get your button there. I'm going to get comfortable. Ugh. Yeah, you know, it's... some crazy shit's always going on. I mean, and with the way the news cycles are, 24-hour news, I mean, you can't keep up with anything. Ebola was here and gone in about 6 weeks.
I mean...
And then it jumps to, this airplane crash goes down. That's a good 48 hours. And then, riots or whatever, you know, that's a good week, 2 weeks. So that New York shit, that's a week.
Every time...
Everything has a lifespan.
Every time there's a big news story, the first thing I think of is... what's going on that they're not telling me about? Because whatever it is, it's far worse than this.
What are we being distracted from? When Donald Sterling was the big story last year for being the racist Clippers owner, what was really going on that we were being distracted from? Because that was a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
It was sensationalistic and fun, but yes, it was nonsense. Ebola. I mentioned Ebola.
Ebola.
That shit just happened to magically go away, at least in American media. Day after midterm elections.
Go figure.
Yeah, it coincided with the ramp up to the elections, and it got crazier and crazier. What does that mean? What did that cause? What did that do? What were we not paying attention to? The actual politics of the times? Probably, right? Anyway, what you got there?
It looks like a cigarette advertisement that's been burned by a cigarette.
Like literally burned? Like actually burned by a cigarette? Oh, okay. Looks like the mailman put out a cigarette on it. Maybe.
Yeah, perhaps.
Fascinating stuff.
Interesting.
Not really.
Nope.
So you know what's going on this week? I'll be talking about...
I don't know. What are you distracting me from this week, Chris?
No, this is what's distracting. This is what is being used to distract us. And we're just going to feed right into it because I don't know what's really going on, and I got nothing else to talk about.
So let's get distracted.
So let's continue with the distracting... That American Sniper movie came out, right?
Okay.
Since we'll be talking about that and not necessarily a bunch of fun topics, I curated a special little mix here. Where is it? I figure, you know, kind of balance it out. You know what I mean?
I mean, I do, but the silence is killing me.
Is that better? So, this American Sniper movie came out.
Yes.
Made over $100 million in its first 4 days, I think, or in its first 5 days, something crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
$89 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
One of the biggest opening weekends.
Opening. I mean, it was open for a couple weeks before.
Limited release.
Yeah.
It's the first wide release.
Yes.
Yeah, because it jumped from, like, being on five screens to 3,000 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a ton of money, and naturally means everyone saw it, so everyone's got an opinion.
Okay.
And, oh, you know how it goes, this day and age, in this country, your opinion is A or B, nothing else. And if you like A and I like B, well then, fuck you.
Damn straight. I mean, it makes no difference if we agree on almost everything else. That one point, that's a fucking deal breaker, Chris.
We're going to start a war over that. There's no way to approach things with complexity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with art in this day and age. Populist art, I guess. Because, you know, American Sniper was made to, you know, make as much money as possible. At least for being a war drama, a biopic. It exceeded everyone's expectations, that's for sure. what the movie is, it's morally complex.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently even more so than the actual autobiography that Chris Kyle did, you know, ghostwritten by two guys or whatever, right? Apparently in that one, like, they cut out a lot of stuff. Like, his very pro-Christian values were very much cut out. You know, just a couple references to God, country, and family. Whereas in the book, he was totally like...
God.
Yeah, like, I'm a God-fearing man. That's why we grew up in Texas. And this is totally us Christians, us good American Christians, versus the savage Muslims. Muslims. He was like 100% like that. And the movie takes a more complex approach to that, where it's, he's not an out racist that he appears to be in the book. He's he actually shows much more remorse in the movie than in the book, where in the book he admits straight up that he liked to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there's something else in there, like along those lines. Whereas in the movie, in his first couple of kills, and he's already shook.
Yeah,
you know, especially because of the nature of the kills, it was not what he expected. And as the movie wears on, it's all about his PTSD. He starts getting really, you know, starts losing it.
Yeah,
he's trying to bottle all up, and then his family is falling apart. The movie's it's pretty much an anti-war movie. I don't know if it's really possible to make a war movie and have it not be anti-war, though. If it's going to be a drama, because it's going to show...
Well, so I don't consider those necessarily anti-war movies. They're just... They're the truthful war movies. And, you know, they're the war is hell movies.
Which has been the trend since... probably since Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Red Line, I think,
I mean,
came out the same
year. Guess you could consider it anti-war because it shows some really horrible things.
Yeah, well, Platoon. Platoon is along those lines, right? Yeah.
But, you know, still, that is the nature of war.
That is the nature of war. You can't get away. That's what I'm saying. I guess then what it comes down to is what's happening. Your outlook on war, those aspects of humanity, colors the way you see a movie.
Yeah.
So apparently there are a good amount of people out there who see American Sniper as a very pro-military, pro-America, go get 'em cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a celebration.
Yeah.
Of Chris Kyle. Other people are seeing this movie as a propaganda piece because of the omissions of the racism, the more, you know, questionable kills, stuff like that. There's a whole part of the book where I don't know if this is between tours or after he finished, because he did four tours. God, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
People are really...
Hurt Locker type shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The final 5 minutes of the Hurt Locker. That's most of American Sniper. Just that expanded, which is it's great. It's really well made. It's really good. I'm pretty sure it's after the war. He was hired by Blackwater.
Okay. Private company.
Yes. And 2005, was that Hurricane Katrina?
Maybe.
2006, something like that. He was hired to do security work. I'm doing air quotes for people listening at home. In post-Katrina New Orleans, where he's written about shooting what he described as armed looters.
Kind of sounds like he was just killing people for fun.
He's kind of read between the lines. Kind of sounds like he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go kill me some black people."
I
haven't read the book. I'm going to read it. Part of my 2015 initiative to read more books based on movies. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Just saw the movie. It's hot. It's fresh. Everyone's talking about it. I'm going to read the book. Be reporting about that at ChrisCrespo.com for sure. So, yeah. I mean, that's the assumption based on the other things in American Sniper, how the savages, the brown people, the way he reacts to Middle Easterners unequivocally. In the book, whereas in the movie it's much more gray, much more gray, and literally gray. The movie is like has a gray washed out tone. All of Clint Eastwood movies are like that. Yeah,
it's Clint Eastwood.
It's got a style. So what's going? So you got Group A. Let's call this Group A. I'm gonna have to write this down to keep track of this. They see it as pro America.
Yeah,
go America. This man's a hero.
Group B.
Group B sees it as propaganda.
Okay,
they took out all the questionable stuff. Eastwood then purposely made a movie akin to a Nazi propaganda film.
Okay.
Then you got Group C, which is people that see it as a kind of a complex character study, or i.e. what it is, just a movie.
Yeah. Right.
Spoiler alert, I fall into group C.
Okay.
Okay. What's going on is group A and group B are going crazy.
They hate each other?
They're going at each other. It's red versus blue. Mm-hmm. It's the East Coast / Hollywood leftist, elitist, intelligentsia, whatever, the Harvard elite as they weirdly like to
hate how
they try to make
American politics demonizes intelligence.
Yeah. No. Yes.
It makes me fucking sick to my stomach.
It's the worst thing. And then people just fall for it too. Like, oh yeah, her, yeah. It's I've said this before in the show that this country has become very anti-intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
it hurts.
That's what we're trying to do with the show. We're trying to raise that. And if it takes us to raise that, that's how fucked. That's how fucked we are, dude. That's what we're doing. That's our public service. Feel good about yourself, 2015. We're trying to raise public discourse.
That's so fucking scary.
With a more complex examination of the issues as opposed to hurdy hurdy boo. That's my impression of the two sides just being douchebags. So, let's get into some specifics here because this shit is
crazy.
If it wasn't so crazy and stupid, it would be fucking hysterical. Let's start with the lefties. Michael Moore, better known as liberal Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
What people take him seriously cracks me up. It's how can people take Rush Limbaugh seriously? He says stupid things to get attention. Michael Moore does the same thing.
Yeah.
Michael Moore tweeted, let's see. Does that have his original tweet here? Damn it, it's on here. His original tweet, I've seen it so many times. It's pretty much that cowards are snipers. He was taught by his father that snipers are cowards. I got it backwards. Cowards are snipers. He was taught by his father that snipers are cowards. His uncle was shot and killed by a Japanese sniper in World War II. And he said it's like shooting a man in the back. It's not a fair fight. Snipers are cowards.
It's war.
It's war, exactly. He's an idiot. And then he followed that tweet up with something about how, but if there's an invading country, then you are a friend, you are a neighbor. I don't know. It made no sense. He's an idiot. And then people got on him because they took him seriously as if he was someone to be paid attention to.
As if he wasn't just a giant troll.
Exactly. Literally and...
Yeah, literally and figuratively. I mean, he's just a giant troll.
Look at that guy. Even the hair. He's like a troll hair. Yeah,
he's a troll.
He's a troll, man. But this is funny, though. People came down on him hard, right? And I actually appreciate... I have to appreciate this. I have to respect this. People came down on him hard. And then I've seen, you know, on Facebook, a handful of people that I'm linked to on there have pro-military, you know, very pro-military, military in the family or were military, right? And so they link to this story, and then it's just flooded with comments of people just being like...
fuck you, man!
No, not even just that. Like, where does this guy live? Let's go find him, blah, blah, blah. Like, wishing violence upon him, which is like, guys, come on, you don't... He's not worth that much energy, let alone...
Seriously.
Wanting to get your itchy trigger fingers involved, you know? Like wars. Come on, guys. Michael Moore then goes to Facebook, and he doubles down.
Yeah.
Most people would then apologize. I'm sorry. The backtrack thing. And he doubled down on Facebook. So I actually respect that for sticking to his guns. Good for him. He may be an idiot, but he's an idiot with conviction, and I can appreciate that in many ways. And this is what he wrote on Facebook, parts of what he wrote. Lots of talk about snipers this weekend, so I thought I'd weigh in with what I was raised to believe about snipers. My dad was in the 1st Marine Division in the South Pacific in World War II. His brother, my uncle, Lawrence Moore, was an Army paratrooper and was killed by a Japanese sniper 70 years ago next month. His views were passed down to him by his father. He says, my dad always said snipers are cowards. They don't believe in a fair fight, like someone come from behind you and cold cocking you. Just isn't right. It's cowardly to shoot a person in the back. Only coward shoots someone who can't shoot back. I don't think most Americans think of snipers as heroes, he added. And then he makes these comparisons. I should have pulled up the actual Facebook post. He talks about how Martin Luther King, killed by a sniper.
Mm-hmm.
JFK killed by a sniper.
Yep.
And who's this third example? So it's like, so if you know, if you think snipers are cool, you know, here's a bunch of douchebag dudes to kill people via sniper or whatever. Equating assassination attempts, political assassinations, to acts of war, apples and oranges, that type of thing. Dude's an idiot.
Yeah.
And people just they ate it up. They bought it. When was the last time this dude had a movie?
I mean, that was any good. I mean, I would.
Some of it, Fahrenheit 9/11.
I mean, it
is a provocative, well-made movie.
Fahrenheit 9/11 was what it was.
It's got its bullshit, but
it's still a piece of propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely. That is more.
Just like anything else.
That's more propaganda. Yeah, it's propaganda.
No, it is. Yeah. It is. I mean, at the time, a lot of people didn't view it as such because it was, you know, everything was very.
It was so current.
Exactly.
That was
in retrospect.
Part of the brilliance of it.
Huge propaganda.
Part of the brilliance. So people got on Michael Moore. Hey, fuck you, man. Fuck you. And you know what? I just think you people are kind of dumb for giving him so much credence.
Well, I guess
it's the reason we don't get on mics and start yelling about shit that Don Imus says or Sean Hannity. Who gives a fuck about
that?
At
a certain
guys?
Point in time, somebody gave him credibility.
The American public.
Where it came from, I couldn't tell you.
His cinema, the power of cinema, gave him credibility. You know where it came from? His first movie, Roger and Me, which was an expose on some shady corporate dealings that like helped destroy Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
And it was actually, you know, an activist piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started. Seth Rogen stepped in it a bit.
Okay.
Making an observation that I don't think is off base.
Okay.
Tell me what you think about this tweet at Seth Rogen. American Sniper kind of reminds me of the movie that's showing in the third act of Inglourious Basterds. Drew's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. He's crunching the data
on
that one.
I haven't seen American Sniper,
I'm telling you, American Sniper is definitely.
But it's that kind of.
I mean, the war stuff is definitely, you know, intense. But he's a man of his convictions, Chris Kyle. He's like, I'm protecting these people. There's a part of the movie where someone asks him, how do you feel about your kills? You know, how does that make you feel? He's like, yeah, when I go see God, I'm ready to answer for every single one of them. So He is more akin to the kind of the sniper shown in that movie where he's just in the thick of war and he's doing his best and people are cheering him on.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happened with Group A.
Yeah.
But then alright. So he says it kind of reminds me of that.
Okay.
Too.
Vaguely. Well, there's a sniper, he's in war, and he's killing lots of people. Alright, so three things they have in common there.
And Germans are watching a movie about a German sniper. Americans are watching a movie about
American sniper. Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Kind of reminds me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, people lost their shit, Drew.
What?
Equating
things to Nazi Germany.
Just like how Michael Moore specifically said snipers are cowards and that's it. People start putting out headlines. Michael Moore says Chris Kyle is a coward.
Yeah.
Right? Like, boom.
So headlines.
Making up their shit. Headlines. Seth Rogen calls American Sniper
Nazi propaganda.
Yeah. And people lose their shit. Because, again, like you said earlier, what are they trying to distract us from? What's really going on that a Canadian stoner millionaire's tweet about something that kind of reminds him of something is now big fucking news for people to get all up in arms about? What's really going on?
It's so ridiculous.
You know who wouldn't let that pass? Wouldn't let that tweet go?
Who?
Good old Craig Morgan.
I mean, nothing against Seth Rogen. You know, he's a really funny guy and a good movie. You know, guy, he makes good movies. I appreciate his work. But once again, who gave this motherfucker any sort of credibility?
Yeah, exactly. He's a stoner comedy actor.
Yeah.
Come
on.
Who cares what he says? He can say whatever he wants.
He won. It makes no difference.
Like, all right.
He made a movie called The Interview.
The Interview.
About messing around and fucking around in North Korea with Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
All credibility lost immediately.
It lost.
What credibility did he have? If he ever had any credibility, lost.
Not in terms of... So, Craig Morgan. The great Craig Morgan. You know Craig Morgan.
Yeah.
Do you really know Craig Morgan?
No. I have no idea who he is.
A country music singer. And military veteran.
Of course. Of course he is.
He double down.
Down.
He expresses disdain for Seth Rogen's comments. I got this from the good old reliable FoxNews.com. Morgan, who served 10 years of active duty in the Army before becoming a singer, didn't care for a tweet in which blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Quote, Seth Rogen, you don't know me, nor did you know Chris Kyle, quote, parentheses, who was a great American, end parentheses. I would be interested to know if you have a relationship with any American who served honorably in its military, as if that matters. Morgan continued, "You are fortunate to enjoy the privilege and freedom of working and living in the United States and saying whatever you want, regardless of how ignorant the statement. Thanks to people like Chris Kyle who serve in the United States military, your statement is inaccurate and insensitive to Chris and his family. I'm sick and tired." Here's the best part. "I'm sick and tired of people like you running your mouth when you have no idea what it takes for this country to maintain our freedoms. If you and anyone like you don't like it."
I was really hoping he was going to say, "I really hate people like you running their mouth about shit they don't know about, just like you are, buddy."
This guy.
Because you are taking everything that he said, A, out of context, and B, you obviously don't know what he's saying because you're so angry about
it. He just wants to rant about it. It's like, this is the perfect opportunity to show how American I am and how much I love America. Fellow country singer Blake Shelton took to Twitter to call out Michael Moore. "Sickens me to see celebrities or anybody slam the very people who protect their right to talk shit. Hashtag true cowards."
Hashtag.
You just noticed how to use like a hashtag. Charlie Daniels band. He tweets. He's on Twitter. Old fucking man. "Hey, Michael Moore. These are the guys who defend the right for you to say the stupid things you say. You might say thanks. The last two U's are spelled just the letter U, and it's a picture of him doing a USO show."
Yeah, because obviously Michael Moore has no idea what anything military is like, because it's not like his father, uncle, and grandfather weren't in the military.
Yeah, no, we'll just ignore that. I mean, at this point, chances are someone in your family has served in the military at some point. How close do you have to be to that family member to be able to be critical of the military and its and their actions, you know? God forbid you criticize anything about the military, about the troops.
The troops do good work, but they also do really shitty work. They do.
It's just like any job.
And they also go into places where they should or should not necessarily be. At this point in time, claiming that all troops are quote-unquote defending America's freedom is absolute and utter bullshit.
That is.
Because in the last 60 years or so, I don't think we've quote-unquote defended American freedom. All we've done is try to shove our values and beliefs down other countries' throats.
Topple other regimes.
Yeah.
Build up other regimes.
Yes.
With the ones that are more friendly to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap.
I mean, I think the last time we quote-unquote defended freedom might have been World War II.
Yeah, probably. Korea. Yeah, there was a Korean thing. Vietnam.
That's a Vietnam thing.
The French. We were just talking about the French there. And they fucked us on that. The Gulf War. Russia's oil. Iraq War. Afghanistan. Oil.
Terrorism.
Oh, well, no, Drew. The war on terror. Now, here's the problem.
Chris, the war on terror is like the war on drugs.
No, it's not. It's not, because here's the problem. The war on drugs is, well, it is in certain ways. Yes, absolutely. It's a failed mission from the get-go. It's a money pit. It's a never-ending thing. Absolutely, that's one thing.
Yes.
Because it's a decentralized enemy.
Yes.
Here's the problem. People are arguing like, we gotta protect our freedoms, right? Protect us. They're out there protecting us. And here, all there are soldiers out over there doing their thing. We're gonna have dudes running up in a coffee shop down on I Drive within the next couple years with a machine gun and just fucking start mowing people down, because that's the next plan. That's the next phase for Al Qaeda and the Islamic State, and you know, that's because now they're finding out this works.
Yeah,
we'll just send out little cells.
We'll just send out crazies.
Boston Marathon.
Yeah,
right. That just happened last year. That was fucked.
Yeah.
And then, of course, oh, man. You want to blow your mind, just do a Google search for Boston Marathon false flag. And you will hours of insane ranting and ramblings and over-dissections of gruesome photographs. And it was like, yeah, it's just, no.
Yeah.
You're horrible people. Horrible people out there. The reactions to the reactions are over the top, and the conflation of the movie with supporting America is just because it's just a movie.
Yeah,
you know, it's a piece of art. It's a piece of commercial art. It's a piece of pop art. It's still a piece of art. You can be critical of the movie in any way, shape, or form without being like, fuck America.
Yeah.
You know, those two things don't equate. But not if you
not
check.
Anymore.
Not if you check, like, the comment sections. Oh, you really want to, like, just lose all hope for humanity?
Already have, Chris.
Click on any American Sniper article out there right now and look, look into the comment section. And it's just like, at first I thought it was an uphill battle. Now it feels like Sisyphean. I'm pushing that boulder up the mountain.
Well,
that boulder ain't going nowhere. Yeah. That's why
we keep trying, though.
That's why we got to keep doing this. That's why we got to keep trying. Got to get the word out there somehow. So, yeah, it's just, it's pretty crazy.
Nuts.
You might as well. You should see the movie. It is nominated for Best Picture for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Bradley Cooper's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see maybe you see it a different way. Maybe you might see it more in the, maybe this movie is a little rah-rah America more than I thought it was. Maybe you pick up on some things. Maybe you see it more as more damning to war than I did. You know, I would really like to know your opinion. So,
well, gotta see the movie first.
You still gotta see Inherent Vice too.
Yeah. I mean, both these movies are 2.5 hours long.
God, you're keeping with American Sniper,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Ventura recently won a lawsuit against the Kyle Estate and HarperCollins,
okay,
the publisher of American Sniper. Apparently, I can't wait to read this if it's there. In American Sniper, the book. The memoir. Would Chris Kyle hate it if it was called the memoir? He's like, that's too French.
Probably.
It's a diary. They're
freedom fries.
Freedom fries. They sell freedom fries at Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill. The one that's
of
over.
Of course they do.
Fucking freedom fries, dude.
Of course they do. Oh, God.
Because I make my political statements with a side of ketchup and mayo. So funny. You know, I won't be surprised if once American Sniper's on DVD, they're playing that at Toby Keith's on the TVs. But just the war parts.
I'll cut
out all the PTSD parts and the drama parts.
I want to punch Toby Keith right in his fat mouth.
He does have a fat mouth.
Just, Freedom fries, seriously? Come on.
Freedom fries, but this is America. Freedom ain't free, and neither are these fries. That'd be $3.99. Thank you very much. $3.99. Jesse Ventura sued Chris Kyle and HarperCollins because there was a section in the book where Chris Kyle talks about being at a bar and there was some dude only identified as Scruff Face, and this guy said how Navy SEALs had gotten soft and some Navy SEALs needed to die to kind of thin out the ranks and toughen them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he got in a fight with Scruff Face and he fucking punched him out.
Jesse Ventura, Scruff Face.
Chris Kyle went on in subsequent interviews, like radio interviews and shit, to say that, yes, that was Jesse Ventura. And Jesse Ventura was like, that never fucking happened. I would never say that shit against Navy SEALs. I was a Navy SEAL.
Say, and you couldn't knock me out, motherfucker.
And you couldn't knock me out because even though I'm an old man with little stick legs.
It makes no difference.
Yeah.
He's still Jesse Ventura.
He's still an insane bastard. And he sued for defamation. Unearned earnings or unlawful earnings or whatever. And the suit he had to substitute Chris Kyle with his wife because he died. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, sorry, I know you're a widow. That sucks. Now, terrible tragedy.
Yeah,
but yeah, now you're being sued. But then you know, I also read that. He claims that the insurance company for HarperCollins is going to cover her legal expenses anyway, but he ended up winning like $1.8 million between HarperCollins and the proceeds from the book.
Okay.
And he said most of that's going to his attorneys anyway.
Yeah.
He just wanted that fucking bullshit cleared up.
Yeah.
Which then led me to... That's crazy. Jesse Ventura is crazy.
Jesse Ventura is crazy.
Governor of Minnesota.
Still, you don't go around telling people you knocked out Jesse Ventura when it didn't happen.
No. He's litigious, apparently. He's living off-grid now. I believe in Mexico.
Okay.
But even though he's off-grid, he's got his own internet show
course he does.
And apparently motherfucker has his own podcast.
He's late in the game.
Called We the People with Jesse Ventura. He may be late in the game, but he's got the name and the following to be like, I'm putting out a podcast. Oh, and it's successful.
You should listen to me.
It's Jesse Ventura, dude. I totally downloaded the latest episode. Can't wait to listen to it. Just found out about this the other day. Also, the show's been out since like July.
Okay.
So I would like to put out there that I feel like everyone that listens to the show, you follow me on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, you all, 100% of you failed me.
By not letting you know.
By not letting me know there was a podcast called We the People with Jesse Ventura. And don't try to make up for it now with other fucking random podcasts for other random celebrities. I don't give a fuck. I'm talking about Jesse the Body Ventura. Now the Mind Ventura. As well as the Eternal Spirit.
Motherfucker was in Predator.
Motherfucker was in Predator and The Running Man. And, he played himself, essentially, in No Holds Barred. Actually, yeah, he did play himself, because then he was with Mean Gene Okerlund. He was like, Mean Gene. He kept calling him. I was like, what, is this the real world? No Holds Barred makes no sense. Fantastic movie.
Strange.
Yeah, very strange. Fantastic movie. I realize there's some new interesting podcast out there that, you know, I'm definitely going to check out this one. Did I tell you about the Startup podcast?
Yes.
Startup is the podcast about starting a podcasting company.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the first episode, and he was like, this is going to be a mini-series, probably do about 6 episodes. But when I listened to that one, they were already on 12, and I think they're still going, because there's always shit to do when running a podcast company.
Yeah.
So, but it's supposed to be startup, not continuing. Maybe they'll do another podcast. Continuing.
And then when it's all over, ending.
Ending. Oh, shit. Get you coming and going. All that money being made. It's all about that money. Dude, that sponsors from the get-go.
We need some of those.
Some get-go sponsors?
Just sponsors, period.
Kevin.
We have no sponsors from the get-go. We already got going.
OBP sponsored 3 episodes for the cost of, I would say, about
30 beers?
No.
Maybe?
No more than that. I'm going to put a dollar amount on it. I'm going to say, $80 to $90 worth of beer
total.
Yeah, it's about $30 worth of beer per episode. Yeah,
ish. Yeah.
So if you want to sponsor our show, any episode, you want to be a sponsor, $30, hit me up.
We take PayPal.
We take only take PayPal, or I guess cash.
Oh
yeah, we'll arrange for a.
We totally take cash,
but we arrange for a drop. Yeah, it's got to be in a plastic bag, in a garbage can of our choosing, and then you walk away. And then one of us will send someone to go get it for us and bring it back, because none of this, you got taxes and the IRS is watching.
Excuse me?
What? I didn't say that. NSA's listening.
Exactly.
There's another podcast. What was the other one I was listening to? Podcasts have become very, now it's all about, unless you're an established person or personality, you have to have a very specific
niche.
You have to have a very specific niche. For example, there's a show called Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor Ever, period. That's a full title show.
It doesn't have anything to do with Denzel Washington at all.
Every episode is a different movie. They're going through his whole body of work.
So
Denzel Washington is the greatest actor ever.
It's not going to be a very long podcast.
20, 30 episodes. They can find ways to throw bonus ones in there. I think they're only doing one or two, one a week, something like that. It's this dude, Kevin Avery, who is a writer. What show did he write for? Was it Daily Show or John Oliver? Yeah, John Oliver. Kevin Avery writes for, he's one of John Oliver's writers currently. And W. Kamal Bell, who's a comedian, I think a writer as well. More people know W. Kamal Bell. And it's funny. The first episode they did was Equalizer, because that had just come out. And then they were like, we're going to do them all in order. And then they're like, then they did Soldier Story, which is the first one. And then they were like, oh, fuck it. They jumped to like,
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Yeah, yeah, or Pelican Brief or some shit like that. And yeah, there's a lot of, Denzel Washington made a lot of fucking movies, man.
Sometimes he has a silly mustache.
Yes.
Really silly mustache.
Yes. He never looked good with a mustache. He couldn't Alex Trebek it.
Nope.
No. He's not like that Paul F. Tompkins.
who without a mustache looks even weirder.
Yeah, like young PFT, where he mustacheless and fat. It's like, no, dude. Lose some weight, grow a mustache, just a little more dapper.
Call it a day.
And then come and then see me in the morning. Now it's great. Now you shut up. Have you watched any of that? Have you guys on the internet?
Nope.
He has his own show on Fusion, which we don't get.
Yeah, I know.
But they started putting the full episodes on YouTube, nice. At least for the new season. Show's called No, You Shut Up. No, comma, You Shut Up. Mm-hmm. And it's a panel show.
But aren't puppets?
Puppets.
Yeah.
It started, the first two seasons was him with a panel of four puppets, and then they discussed three different issues or four different issues throughout the show. The whole gimmick was, No, You Shut Up, was that they would discuss issues of the day until they got so angry that they couldn't discuss them anymore. And every segment ended with all of them yelling at each other over each other, and Paul Thomas was like, we'll be right back, blah, 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 you know. They changed it up for the new season, for season three. Now there's only one panel at the end, and they don't even do that. Now they just end with the No, You Shut Up thing, where who are you telling to shut up? And every week the different person's like, I'm telling Lumbersexuals to shut up this week.
Goddamn Lumbersexuals.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It's a good show. It's a good show, man. Some of those puppets are funny. There's a squirrel puppet that's a Christian conservative. Nice. And when they were asking her about, like, space exploration, she was all like, she was like, nope, that's God's house. Stay out of God's house. Anyway, I recommend people, you know, check out No, You Shut Up on the internet. Unless you have Fusion. Some people might have Fusion.
Check it out on the television.
Check it out on the television. It might look pretty good on the TV. Real quick, let's end up with some science news.
Science!
E-cigarettes
are supposedly awful for you?
Yes.
Like, even worse than regular ones?
I don't know about even worse. Maybe just different?
Yeah, what is it? I forget what it is.
Well, here we go.
I read something about that.
Here we go. This is from Science News, magazine of the Society for Science and the Public. Blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. That's what it says. So, show's over.
No. All right. Here we go.
There is no question that a puff on an e-cigarette is less toxic than a puff on a regular cigarette, says Stanton Glantz, director of the Center for Tobacco Control Research and Education at the University of California. Okay, so definitely healthier than cigarettes. Well, he didn't say healthier. He said less toxic. Blah, blah, blah. For a May 13th review in Circulation, Glantz and his team pored over emerging data on what vapors are inhaling and found greater risk than scientists had thought. E-cigarettes deliver high levels of nanoparticles, the researchers found, which can trigger inflammation and have been linked to asthma, stroke, heart disease, and diabetes. The levels, quote, really raise concerns about heart disease, I should say, and other chronic conditions where inflammation is involved. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, and you know what? This is why I really wanted to bring up this article. E-cigarettes are no longer niche products. Niche?
Niche.
Niche? 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 Vaping product sales last year were projected to hit an estimated $1.7 billion.
And instead...
Why not? That's what I'm saying. That's what they figured it made. It was a $1.7 billion industry last year.
That's ridiculous.
Estimated. I'm saying we are going to start a vaping podcast. We are going to test different types of vaping liquids and vaporizers. We're going to have mad vaping sponsors. We'll have guests on doing different vaping things. We're going to go vape crazy. That's going to be our niche podcast.
Thought we were doing a Saved by the Bell podcast.
I'm going to cut that out. People did not hear that. That is still in the works. What are you doing?
You're talking about niche podcasts.
No, that's going to be huge. That's going to be gigantic. There was a Lifetime movie, Drew. And this is $1.7 billion. We got to get some of that.
Yeah, no.
So we'll start a vaping podcast. We'll call it Drew and the Vapes. You can have
Why don't we just call it The Vapors? The Vapors.
The Vapors, The Vapors? The Vapors. We can call it I Got The Vapors. And then our logo is an old Southern lady fanning herself going, oh,
I've got the vapors.
I've got the vapors. And then us standing behind the old lady. That's a sound that half the podcast would be that sound. The sound of hitting the vaping thing.
Are you sure that's what that's the sound of?
Yeah, no.
No.
Someone give me a vaping thing. To see. Is that my phone or your phone? No. Oh, shit.
Mine's in my pocket.
Oh, shout out to Nathan. Retweeted some stuff. Good guy. What a nice guy. All right, you know what? Fuck you.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
I'm going
to
rule the world. Oh, you know what? You win the game, Drew. That was a secret game that I was playing and I failed. And you did it. Damn it. Okay, here's the thing. I came up with this playlist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to try to, as we talked throughout the show, whatever song was playing, try to work the title into...
Oh, really?
Organically into organically? What I was saying.
You mean like I just did?
And that's the thing. I was going to keep track of who could do it the most.
I win.
And I kept it a secret, and then and I forgot to do it, and then you did it.
So I still won.
And you won.
I'm good at this shit, man. What can I say?
That's annoying. That's annoying. All right, well, on that note then, I'm going to do the Vaporizing podcast on my own.
Yes.
Are you still on me with the other one that you didn't mention earlier that we're not even talking about right now?
Correct.
Okay. Because that's going to take a lot of work. All right, well, hey, we're out of here. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. iTunes, rate it, review it, do it. Stitcher, share us. Hit up Drew up.
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
All over the internet.
Interneds? What's an internet? Is that like, is that a Simpsons thing? Are we talking about like multiple Ned Flanders here?
It's a worldwide diddly doodly. Worldwide webbly. World wibbly wibbly. Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. It's time to get some fried chicken.
I can smell it.
Can you smell it?
Yeah, it's fine. I thought it was burning earlier, but it's not.
You was burning the fried chicken. I'm going to have me a fried chicken skin salad. I'm ready to give all the meat to the cat.
She's going to get fat.
Get fat. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
Welcome.
Peace out.